All right, we're back. Episode 23 of the Reporter's Corner. I'm one half of your co-host, Jared Urbato from the Bemidji Pioneer. With me is Trent Singer, the other co-host from SiouxFallsLive.com. Trent, how are we doing today?
Doing good. We got our prediction panels up this week. Obviously, it's Mason Cup Championship week, and it is as split down the middle as you can get for those predictions. 4-4 each, going each way. So it's going to be a good Mason Cup final, and I think the team that you and I both, Jared, picked was represented on today's show.
Yeah, we decided to open up the St. Thomas Ice Arena one more time and interview Liam Malmquist. Insane year, right? Like, I mean, he's having an accolade-riddled year where I think he got a Forward of the Year nominee, first-teamer. I think he's an Obie Baker finalist in one of the preliminary ones. But he's nuts. I think he's got 44 points this year or something. Trent, you'll get into his rap sheet a little bit, but it was a great chat. St. Thomas kids are all could have a career in media, at least the ones that have been on this show. And Liam Malmquist, I don't know, how long did that one go? It was almost 50
That was 50 minutes. It was probably our longest episode we've had this season.
At least with a player. I know the one with Don went quite a long
true.
Time.
That is true. It's hard to avoid that with Don.
Right. But no, Liam Malmquist was great. Trent, what do we get into with one of the best players in this league?
One of the best players in this league on one of the hottest teams in this league. They're 15-3-1 since the start of January. I mean, the Tommies have just, you talk about turnaround. They have completely turned around their season in the second half and obviously now find themselves in the CCHA championship game. They're a 19-win team. They're going for 20. I mean, you got to, the impressive thing is you got to really look at where this team was a few years ago. This is their fourth year as a D1 program. I think they were a 3-win team in their first season that didn't really stand up much of a chance to anybody. And you talk about just such a turnaround for a program in 4 years. Rico Blasi's got the team absolutely humming. And, you know, this is it. This is what they get to play for this weekend. Minnesota State's already going to the big dance. And the Tommies are playing for their national championship this weekend, trying to raise their first banner in what will be their new arena next year. So we talked a little bit about just how big this game is for this program and as another stepping stone for really just kind of what Rico's built in 4 years here. And obviously the Tommies in a couple of years will be in the NCHC. You know, we talked with Liam a little bit about his playing career growing up in Edina. He got to win a state title there his senior year. And obviously we got his take on just that whole experience and being part of really what is such a celebrated event in hockey, the Minnesota State Tournament. So we went into a little bit of his junior career in the BCHL. He played for the Penticton Vs two seasons and you know, obviously a COVID-shortened second season that he really got a good boost out of being a point-per-game guy that year. He eventually made his way to the college ranks, first two seasons at Wisconsin, before transferring to St. Thomas for his final two. And so we talked a little bit about his college career and just kind of how both those opportunities came about. You know, the difference, the difference in, kind of what he's kind of gone through, what Liam's gone through in his college career. He made a huge jump when he came to St. Thomas. I think he went from being a 8 or 9 point guy to 27 points in his junior season. And then obviously this year has just been a monster season for Liam Malmquist, who's really been at the top of the point sheet all season in the CCHA. So yeah, we talked a little bit about his time at St. Thomas and got his take on his line mate, Lucas Wallen. And really talked a lot about a lot of guys on his team. He's very indebted to so many players on this team and closed out with our one-timers, and that was a good segment too. I thought he had some really good answers. I think you guys will really enjoy this episode. I mean, especially Tommy's fans. You know, Jared, we've had Aaron Trotter, Jake Seibel, Lucas Wallen, and now Liam Malmquist on the show. All fantastic interviews. I mean, this you really see the character of this program through those four individuals. Jake Seibel, obviously, be this the goaltender this weekend going against Alex Tracy. It should be just a great matchup. We got Liam's take on that matchup as well here towards the end of the episode. So, yeah, I think you guys are going to enjoy this one.
So let's kick it over to our interview with Liam Malmquist. All right. We got another good one here today. And another big interview before a big game. And no bigger one than the Mason Cup this year. We have Liam Malmquist on, and no better representative of one of the hottest teams in college hockey right now. St. Thomas obviously is going to play for the Mason Cup this Friday against Minnesota State. And St. Thomas, 15-3-1 since the start of January. 8 wins in a row. Liam, let's start with the turnaround after kind of a tough first half. And what's just gone into the turnaround to get you guys to this point where you're playing for a championship on Friday?
Yeah. First of all, thanks for having me, guys. It's great being here. Going back to the question. I think the first half of the year is a lot of ups and downs. I think throughout the whole year, we've kind of been in positions where it's either a 2-1 game or a 3-2 game kind of going in the third or at the final whistle. So I think the first half, maybe a lot of those results didn't go our way for whatever reason. I think, just comparing to how we were at the start of the year to now, obviously it's a bit different. But, just seeing those results, I think some of that change was right before Christmas break, we were in Michigan Tech. And obviously, like you guys said, it wasn't the best first half. But we ended on a win kind of heading into this new year, and definitely use that as kind of motivation and a little fuel to not maybe kind of look back at the past for what happened, but use it all as fuel the fire to lead us into the second half. And obviously it's gone great. We've had great goaltending, a lot of different guys stepping up, found some new systems that have worked, and I think the confidence in our group is at a sky high, so it's been great.
Yeah, I know. It's interesting because obviously win or lose, this Friday is kind of it for you guys, and it's no different than what the basketball team went through too, if you think about it too, at the Summit League tournament. But obviously you guys would like to make the NCAA tournament this season, but it seems like you've really rallied around making the most of this situation to find yourself in a championship game. What does this Friday's game mean to you guys and really the program at large?
Yeah, I think it means the world. Being in these games, I'm sure the jitters will be there the first couple of shifts maybe, and I'm hoping it's a huge crowd and a great atmosphere. But this game means everything. The program, I read something the other day, a couple of years ago with Rico and the staff, and I'm having 3 wins, and then a couple of years later, and now we're playing for a championship. So it's been a long time coming for a lot of guys in the locker room. Obviously, we have some guys a lot of different transfers and whatnot, guys coming in to try to help out. But this big time game, and there's a lot on the line. It's going to help the program, obviously, with the new rink and the more engagement within the student body. And there's a lot of more people being more aware about hockey. And sometimes it's hard for students to come out to our games in the regular season because our rink is it's not on campus. But, I think the hockey team has become more well-known throughout campus, and this game just solidifies the faith that we have.
Is it kind of like this is your national championship feel, right? I mean, there's nowhere else to go but up
right here. Yeah, I guess you could. I've never played for a national championship, so for sure. I mean, regardless of what happens, I know for me specifically and a couple other guys in our group who are seniors and who might move on after this, this is awesome. I mean, you gotta put it all on the line for 60 minutes and see what happens. So I think there's a little in between where you gotta understand the situation and know what's at stake, but also just appreciate what's gotten us here and just enjoying it, just like another day on the pond during the winter or whatnot. So there's a little bit of both. A little bit of nerves, but also a lot of confidence. So we're really happy.
And I want to get into some of the old days of playing on the pond too. Edina kid, right?
Yep.
Everybody in Minnesota has an opinion about Edina, and I'm sure you've heard it a million times.
Yeah.
But what was it like growing up in that hockey community? Because it really is one of the more storied hockey communities in this state.
Yeah, it's it goes on with what you said. You hear a lot about Edina. Maybe when you're younger, you don't really know the real meaning behind it. Or why do people not like me as much as others? I didn't do anything wrong, but no, it's awesome. You grow up and you're surrounded by guys who are also in Edina, so you're kind of in your own little pod and little clique, I guess you could say. But then you branch out, obviously, with different teams in the summer or different tournaments, meeting a lot of different guys, and you start to realize that maybe there's some guys that act like they hate Edina, but then they kind of gravitate towards you, and you become friends throughout the process. But yeah, growing up in Edina was awesome. I had two older brothers who also played for Edina, and kind of just growing up through that system. And I was the youngest, so I kind of understood kind of the process of it as I went through it myself. But yeah, I got nothing but gratitude and appreciation for what Edina has done for me, and just meeting a lot of good people and a lot of good hockey perspectives. It's awesome. And I just was why I went to the section final this year for Edina, and then got to watch them a little bit at the tournament. So I'm glad they're still in the mix and they're still hunting for championships.
So did you go to the state tournament this year at all?
Unfortunately, due to our playoffs, I wasn't able to go.
Okay, I was going to say, were you sneaking out there?
Yeah, no.
Watching play Rogers?
Yeah, not this year, but no, me and my roommates were watching on the TV, and I'm sure everywhere across the country, college hockey guys were watching it and tagging along, because it's still so awesome to watch.
Yeah, and obviously any kid that goes to Edina and goes through and plays 3 years, like, you get to play with future NHL players, right?
Yep.
But one guy has coached all those future NHL players, and it's Kurt Giles, and he's right. One of the more renowned coaches in this state. What's it like playing for him?
Right, yeah. Coach Giles is unbelievable. I mean, it's if you talk to players who have played there, I'm sure everybody has their own different ways of viewing him and different opinions, but I'm sure they're all positive regarding what he said and what he's done for each player that's gone through there. And like you said, there's so many guys who have been able to play pro hockey and college hockey and just been able to move on and keep growing. And I think that gives full rein to Kurt Giles and the whole coaching staff. Coach Giles, he was able to coach me and my brothers. So by the time I got there, he was saying, oh, this better be the last one. So his staff and my parents always had good relationships, and I was just happy to be a part of it and learn from him, as I'm sure a lot of people are. So, yeah, he's great. And, that staff has been there a while, and they're still having success. So I've become a fan.
Yeah, they're still a wagon. Yeah,
still a wagon.
We want to hear about your experience at state. I mean, you finished third, your first trip in 2018. The next year, you guys go on to win a state title in overtime over Eden Prairie. I mean, just talk to us about that game. What was that atmosphere like?
Yeah, that first year, unfortunately, we lost to Duluth East in the semifinals, and now I kind of get kind of getting some arguments about it, as one of my roommates is Ryder Donovan, who was on that team.
And oh, wow. That's so cool.
So, yeah. So there's always some chirping and some beef as March rolls around on on those past years. But, yeah, moving on to my senior year, it was 2019. We had a lot of seniors on our group and on our roster. And throughout that whole year, it felt like just a movie to be playing with those guys. You grow up in association, and now you're finally all on the same team, and it kind of feels like your year as a senior, and what we'd gone through together. And Yeah, it was just crazy playing in those games, playing at the X. I was able to watch it as a fan growing up, and then when you're actually there, it feels a little smaller when you're on the bench, but then you look around and during the commercial break and you realize this kind of madness. I don't know what's going on, but no, it was unbelievable. That overtime game against Eden Prairie, it sticks with you forever. Unfortunately, I didn't see the live play of the overtime goal. I was sitting on the bench. I remember I was sitting next to my line mate, Mason Nevers, who he's at the Gophers. And I remember we were just coming off a shift and we were pretty gassed. And I was grabbing a water and we were just talking about the shift, whatever. And then you could kind of hear a little uproar from the crowd, maybe a chance is brewing. And then, Peter Colby slid right in the back of the net. I remember I looked right at Nevers. He looked at me, and our eyes kind of opened up, and was like, oh, my gosh, what did that? And next thing you know, we're the last guy skiing off the bench. We're still just shocked. You throw your helmet. You don't know if it stays in the rink or if it goes out. you're kind of just on top of the world, and there isn't really any feeling to or words to describe it. So hopefully we can all have that same feeling on Friday.
Yeah, kind of an exclusive club too. I mean, there aren't many kids in Minnesota who get a chance to play in that state tournament. I mean, even fewer get a chance to win a state title. In an age where kids can leave high school early and play elsewhere, are those the moments that make kids stay in Minnesota to play high school hockey?
For sure. I think personal experience and just knowing guys that had stayed and who, maybe other guys who had left, I'm sure everyone has their own path and everyone has their own plans and people who are talking to them. But I mean, the experience of high school is just so surreal. You get to go to school with your best friends. You get to go to the rink each day. You get to, live at home and get the home cooked meals. And, you're just surrounded by people you've been around your whole life. And there's no better way to do it than to finish your senior year, graduate, and just go through that whole process and enjoy high school hockey before you eventually have to leave.
I want to ask you too, you go and you do state, right? Quarterfinals, everybody skates up, you say hi to mom and dad. Yeah. But then you have to do it again for the state title game.
Right.
Obviously, the jokes are probably getting stashed away for that. What's kind of the nerves when you're sitting on that blue line for the national anthem and you look around, you see all those people? What's that moment like?
Yeah, I think when you're sitting on the blue line and the cameras are in your face, skating by during the national anthem, maybe you're trying not to look up and seeing yourself on the big screen or whatever, but you look around and see everybody standing and it's just like, oh my gosh, this is just what you play for. This is high school hockey, and the whole lead up throughout the season and what you work for, it makes you feel really really grateful and happy to go through all that to finally get to kind of the mecca of high school hockey at the X. And then skating up to do those introductions, also you see guys doing the hair and all that stuff now, and kind of was crazy a little this year, but just from what I just didn't want to fall. So, some guys have fell, and maybe it's a good thing, because then you stand out on
the adrenaline, man.
Just try not to fall.
I got one more about the state tournament I just thought of. As someone who's played in it, now going back and watching it this year, when you see the kids skate 200 feet on their cellies, what are you thinking?
Yeah, that was not allowed when I was there. Maybe it was allowed. I just didn't think anybody had the.
It's a little obnoxious, in my opinion.
Right. Yeah. No. It's it's cool. I think it's. I don't know if there's a rule where you can't celebrate in front of specific student sections or whatnot, but who knows? I've seen some crazy things, like the selfie stick on the stick, put the glove on the top of the stick, and then go down with your buddies. But who knows? I think it's maybe a little crazy at times, but your adrenaline is so high, so it's probably all fun for those guys.
Oh yeah.
Let's talk a little bit about juniors, because after high school, you went to the BCHL to play for the Penticton Vs. You had 39 points in 58 games in your first season, but then played only 20 in that second year. Can you just walk us through, like, what happened there?
Yeah, so I was after high school, I was trying to figure out college and juniors at the same time. I didn't want to rush any of it, but eventually I chose Madison for my college destination at first, and then kind of juniors after that. I was able to connect with Penticton and their staff, and I knew kind of the history of some players that have gone there, and I was just really fortunate to ever receive that call, and right away I kind of jumped on it. But that first year was amazing. It was a crazy experience. It was my first time kind of living away from home, but everyone was super nice, and being in a different country and billets and all that, everything went so smooth, and I have nothing but good things to say about Penticton. And then next year, my second year, it was COVID, so we weren't able to play due to like the Canadian government and health restrictions and whatnot. So the people who had stayed there, especially Americans, the imports, we weren't able to go back and forth that year because of the different restrictions regarding the countries and going back and forth. But so I stayed up there for, I think it was like 10 straight months, whatnot. And like out of those 10, maybe 5 or 6, we weren't playing at all. I think we started the year in the fall, we played a couple games. I think it was like 12, but those never got registered because they were preseason games, hoping we had started the normal time. Obviously, that didn't happen. So then from November to March, I think it was like nothing was going on. We were just practicing weightlifting. Guys would go home, like Canadian guys go back and forth. So going back on that year, I think, honestly, maybe my individual skill and kind of feel for the game, in a sense, grew in different ways. Just having more confidence with the puck and maybe more confidence at trying new things and learning in that area. But, yeah, it was just COVID. And eventually after that, we played games like the 20 you said in this pod against a couple teams. And after that, I think everyone was just happy that it went well and everyone remained healthy.
Well, in that second season too, though, you were over a point per game in Penticton. And I'm just curious to know, you talk about the growth, how much confidence did that give you to make that jump to the college level? Just kind of from that last year, juniors.
Yeah, big time. I think it was huge. Just growing, I think, I wasn't the biggest guy maybe my first year of juniors and kind of leaving high school and coming right into that. So I had to learn that right away of how to play against guys who are more developed and older in a sense. But then the second year, yeah, I think I took a step with my confidence and just trying to believe in myself. And I was both years, obviously, even in high school, surrounded by so many good players and guys you can work off of and kind of learn from and just watch and pick apart their game each day. So, leading into college, obviously jumping from junior to college, let alone like high school to juniors, is all such a different experience. Right away in college, I just tried to be myself and try to help in any way I could my first year. And taking stuff from high school in Penticton was a part of that.
You start your college career at Wisconsin. Let's just talk, what made you want to become a Badger? Talk about the process that led you to Wisconsin out of juniors.
Yeah, I think the biggest one was just the coaching staff. I was able to connect with Coach Granato, Coach Stroll, Coach Osiki. It was right in that span of a couple months after my senior year and before I headed out to start my junior career. But, yeah, they were really supportive. I appreciated the way they thought about the game and kind of the systems they had of being trying to be a more offensive team, played fast and played with a lot of skill and passed the puck and moved all up and down the ice together. And overall, it was just a gut feeling that I would be successful in Madison and have a good college experience. Obviously, you know, you don't know what's going to happen. And now 2 years after my freshman, sophomore year, you kind of fast forward and then you're back kind of where it started with recruitment, entering the portal again, and kind of going through that process again. But yeah, Madison was an unbelievable experience. I still talk with a lot of guys who I had played with and was a part of the teams on there. And it was just awesome. And credit to the staff and everyone that works there. It was great. It was pro hockey at college, it felt like.
No doubt. Yeah. You mentioned too, I mean, alluded to it a little bit. You hop in the portal after two seasons and make your way to St. Thomas. What drew you to St. Thomas? Obviously, you know, Coach Blasey's there, and what was really, you know, the selling point there to come back kind of home?
Yeah. Yeah. I would say the portal is kind of unknown waters for everyone. It's kind of, you don't really know about it until you're in it. And it's a little hectic and a little nerve-wracking. I think I was going throughout that whole process while I was trying to manage finishing my finals and kind of keep all that and all in the same boat. But yeah, talking with Rico and Coach Hayward and Coach Leyland, again, it just felt so so comforting and so natural to kind of have the same mindset. And they were really supportive. They gave me a lot of opportunity, and they said they were going to give me a lot of opportunity, which has happened. And it was just guys who you feel like you could take their word and understand their truth and really try to come in and help in any way you can, as they're highly intelligent staff regarding hockey and what they want out of their players. And then just another part of it was, like you said, coming home and being a little closer to what you grew up on. And I knew some of the players at St. Thomas prior to eventually joining, but I didn't know at the time of when the new rink was going to be kind of put in place and whatnot. I wasn't thinking about that at all. But now, kind of 2 years fast forwarded, I kind of wish I had a fifth year.
Right.
That new rink is in the process, and the guys that'll be here next year are gonna enjoy it a lot, and I'm gonna be following along. And there's so many good guys on this team that we have right now, and everyone is super supportive of each other, and it's just a great locker room to be a part of.
They might let you in the building if you come back.
Yeah, I hope so. I gotta get a student ticket.
Oh, maybe they'll do some sort of alumni tickets. Game, like, you know, alumni, give them a chance to play in the barn.
Yeah, seriously, that'd be nice.
Yeah, obviously, you know, like Big Ten hockey is a little bit different than CCHA hockey. You know, the mm-hmm. style of play is different, but even with that, you still took like a massive step forward offensively, going from a sophomore to a junior year. I mean, 7 points to 27 points is a pretty big step. You know, where was the biggest development of your game, you know, making that jump from a sophomore to a junior?
Yeah, I think, I don't know if it was anything going on to my kind of what I'd done with my skill or kind of how I'd played growing up. I think it was just being surrounded by a lot of good hockey players and being given a different opportunity and trying to make the most of it. I think kind of you go to school for 2 years and you kind of experience things and be around people and get to understand and make your own kind of perspectives on where you want to see yourself and what type of player and person you want to be. And I think once into the portal and talk to Rico, and then eventually he was coming to school here, there's just a kind of thought and a mindset of there's nothing to lose, and You know, you already went 2 years of college and it happened so fast. So, I mean, take these next 2 years and learn in any way you can from the players and the staff and just really go out there and try to enjoy it each game. Try to take it as a new experience and a new game. And, I think seeing once you see the numbers go up and the statistics come along with it, you kind of just keep moving and not worry about it at all and just be super grateful to be playing.
You know, that brings us to your senior season and you know, what a season it's been so far. You have 19 goals, 25 assists. You're a CCHA Forward of the Year finalist and a CCHA first teamer. How much fun has this senior season just kind of been for you?
Yeah, it's flown by and I'm super grateful and just I can't even put it to words on kind of what's happened over these past months and this whole year. We have a really great team, a lot of good players who are so valuable in different positions, and I think regarding myself, I've just tried to help the team in any way I can. I've been put in spots that have allowed me to be successful and been put in spots with players who are able to find me and who are also able to finish the puck. And I think it goes back to the credit of our staff and kind of the mindset and the opportunities they give everyone. And again, going back, regarding myself, this senior year, I think I kind of, going back to the summer leading up to it, I think it was just a mindset of relating it back to my high school senior year and just trying to really, you know, you're a senior now, you know, there's really nothing to lose. There's nothing to hold it back for. So just try to go out there and not worry about any of the points or anything that could kind of mess up your head in a bad way, but just go out there and do what you can for the team and just enjoy it, because who knows what's going to happen in a year.
No doubt. We want you to put us in your shoes a little bit. I mean, kind of reflect back on that freshman year. You're a 9-point guy in 35 games at Wisconsin. Did you think at a certain point then that you'd have a college career kind of how you have?
Yeah, I wish I could ask my freshman year self that.
Yeah, right?
Yes, I don't know. I think just regarding those first 2 years, it was maybe just a mindset of, wow, I'm playing college hockey. Like, this is unbelievable, and it still is to this day. But I was able to watch my brother, their older friends, and just growing up, you go to, I don't want to say this on camera, but growing up, you go as a fan to Gopher games and whatnot, but going with my family and stuff. And then now you're here, and especially where we are today, just, you don't really realize how intense and detailed the game is until you actually get to the level. I think maybe my freshman year, I didn't understand that. And I was just really grateful to be playing and at that level and enjoying those experiences. But who knows if my freshman year self would have understanding where we are now and being able to play for a championship. Because this is a time you won't get back. And I know everyone in our locker room is just so grateful and super present and just really looking forward to Friday.
Keep us there. I'm curious to know. It's one question we like to ask everybody who comes on this show. Your freshman year, we usually get some pretty good answers out of this. Do you recall a welcome to college hockey moment where you kind of understood that it was a different game maybe early on in your college career?
I'm trying to think. I got my freshman year. It was the first border battle that I'd played in. Okay. And it was at home at the Kohl Center, and I think it was earlier in the year. I'm not too sure, but we didn't at the start of the year. Maybe it was just because we were playing different teams out of conference, whatnot. We didn't get the greatest fans regarding that big building and whatnot at the Kohl Center. But I remember that first game, and it was pretty packed against the Gophers, and I was like, oh yeah, this is kind of what I saw from the photos and everything. This is crazy of what's going on in the atmosphere. But in the second period, I think it was, we had a delayed penalty, and I was out there, and I remember I had it in the corner, and I thought I looked, but maybe I didn't. I passed it back to our D, and it was a delayed penalty, and so our goalie was out of the net.
Oh no!
No one was there.
No.
And I was in the far corner of the Kohl Center, and this is at the time when they had the Olympic ice still, and so it's a massive ice sheet. And I passed it; no one was there, and I had to watch this puck for about 20 seconds. It felt like 20 minutes, but 20 seconds or whatnot, 10 seconds. It went right in the middle of our own net.
Oh no!
So I scored an own goal, and my first border battle, and I'm pretty sure it was like a minute left in the second, and we were winning 2-1.
Oh,
and it was 2-2, and going in the third, and I think I just sat with a towel all over my head and in the locker room in that second and third intermission. So my welcome to college hockey wasn't really a big hit, or
maybe
I looked up to maybe chirping me or something. It was scoring on my own net.
Liam, that's the best one we've gotten.
Did you win the game?
We ended up winning the game.
Okay, good.
Yeah, we won in overtime, and I remember going to the press box after the game. I was sitting there with Coach Granato and I think it was Brock Caulfield who ended up scoring the goal in the overtime. But I remember the guy asking me the question, like, were you trying to score on your own net? Like, you know, Minnesota guy? And I was sitting there like,
sabotaging this game for us?
Yeah, I was like, are you kidding me? So now when everybody asks, I say, yeah, I might have admitted it to the camera here, but no, that wasn't me. Never happened.
No, we believe it.
Yeah.
You're a genuine man. We can tell. One more for you. But, you know, just obviously we had Lucas Wallen also on this show earlier this year, a few weeks back, really. And he got a ton of postseason recognition as well. He seems like the exact same kind of guy off the ice that he is on the ice. How deserving is he of those CCHA honors?
Oh, 100%. I think I give a lot of credit to Lucas. I've been able to play with him for both years now here at St. Thomas. I've been able to learn from him a lot. His work ethic on the ice matches his intensity off the ice. I'm in a couple of his classes as well, and it seems like just as dialed as he is in before a game and how hard he works, it's the same way off the ice. So obviously he's our captain and our leader, and I give a lot of credit. I think before the season they put him as the player of the CCHA or whatever, and I mean, well deserved. And I think he, as good of a human as he is, I think he didn't really take that as much into account, and he's just worked hard and been consistent and been a great player for our group. And like you guys said, being mentioned for those awards, I'm just super grateful to be even put up there with Lucas, because he's such a good player and super dynamic, and he's gonna have a great future. So Lucas is one of one.
Did you ever play against him in high school? I know he's in a Hill Murray.
yeah, we did. He still brings it up how they beat us at Braemar at hockey day my senior year at hockey in Minnesota. But then we went right over to his barn the next night and beat him. So I'll always have a little ammo for Hill Murray. But we didn't really play against each other in juniors, as he stuck around.
He had a weird junior career too.
That's what I'm saying. Everybody has different paths, and you just got to keep working. And I think Lucas is the perfect example of that for anyone trying to go into juniors and
move. Yeah,
no doubt.
3 to the USHL is a once in a lifetime path.
Right. That's crazy. Keep working.
Yeah. But obviously, kind of bring it back to this Friday. Really tight games with Minnesota State all year. I think you went 1-2-1 against them. You pick up a shootout winner in there too. Mm-hmm. Just what makes Minnesota State kind of the top dog in this league this year, and what makes them a tough team to beat?
Yeah, I think you see they have a lot of good players. A lot of players who have been recognized as being top players. We know a lot about their group, and I'm sure they know a lot about ours. I think there's mutual respect between both teams. I think we have a lot of different dynamic systems and different players on both sides. You got a lot of guys who can work hard. You got a lot of guys who know the game really well and are smart enough to be in the right spots. And then you got a lot of guys who could put the puck in the net on Friday. So who knows what's going to happen. I don't even want to get into the goaltender matchup because both guys are so good. Seibel has been phenomenal for us. We have a great duo and with him and Aaron Trotter. And so we have a lot of faith in both those guys. And I'm sure they have a lot of faith in their goaltending tandem. And it's just a point. We're here Wednesday and it's just excitement and kind of figuring out what you got to do to prepare for Friday and try to stay focused, but also kind of remain loose at the same time. So, we're looking forward to it.
How long does this week crawl by, man? I mean, it's got, like you said, it's only Wednesday. It feels like forever to get to Friday.
Right. Yeah. It's, this leading up to Wednesday right now, it's gone fast for me. I've had a couple presentations and final projects I've had to do this week, unfortunately, but I'm sure there's other guys who maybe don't have much going on, and this week is just, it seems more, each day is like a week, but it's just the playoffs are an exciting time. This whole kind of playoff run we've been on. Obviously last year we weren't able to get past Lake City in the quarters. This year we're looking forward to Friday. So it's just a feeling of being grateful for the opportunity and kind of understanding the perspective of the dynamic of this game and what it can mean for both teams.
Yeah. You're in good company. You're with a couple guys. We made our picks earlier this week. We both took the Tommies. And I got the chance to see this rivalry firsthand last year. And I think it was the February matchup. You guys lost the Friday night game, go into Mankato on the Saturday night, and get the win in regulation. Aaron Trotter just played out of his mind. I mean, I'm just curious to know, you've been here 2 years, you've gotten the chance to kind of see this rivalry build even a little bit more. What do you take away from just kind of this rivalry between the Tommies and Mavs? You know, you get to do the home and home in the regular season, both times. And it just seems like it's kind of a budding rivalry.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I think you always understand, Minnesota State and the success they've had. And, I don't think, as now that we're sitting here, I don't think there's the gap between St. Thomas and Minnesota State has shrunk. And obviously St. Thomas continues to improve and we've had great results this year and especially the second half. But I think the once you're kind of in the game and you understand the intensity and how the fans react to, playing St. Thomas. And it seems like there's always kind of the rivalry in their back of their heads and obviously for the players as well. I know Rico and I'm sure their staff is kind of in the same boat. They maybe, I don't know if they really hate each other or whatnot. Yeah, rivalry is a rivalry, but no, it's definitely more intense and just the excitement that I'm sure will be around the building Friday. We'll kind of show that.
Let's get into some of the fun ones. Well, we'll wrap up here at the end. These are the questions we ask every player and most of the coaches that come on here too. But Toughest place to play in the CCHA. Where is it?
Interesting. I would say probably for me, Michigan Tech was a cool rink, and they got the fans and with a bunch of different flags. They got the cowbells going, everything. It's an intense barn, and I don't know if it's because their stadium, like the stands.
I love the stands.
Yeah, the stands and just the whole layout of that rink. It feels like they're right on top of you. But, yeah, I think that's a hard ring, especially on a Saturday when their fans are out and they got a big student section and whatnot. And you lose on a Friday night, it's hard to get a win on a Saturday. But we've been able to do some of those. And, yeah, I would say Michigan Tech until St. Thomas gets a new ring next year.
What about toughest place to play in college hockey that you've played in? You're a little more traveled than most.
Yeah, I would say some one that just popped right in my head was Penn State.
Really?
Yeah,
that was a hard rink when they do the whiteout, and especially if they score one early, it's they're kind of in the same mode all night. But Penn State sticks out. Obviously, Mariucci playing in a couple of those games is. I mean, that one's just surreal, especially growing up, going to some of those games.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if those ones are maybe kind of the hardest. Those are probably my favorite games playing at Mariucci.
Yeah.
I grew up and play in that rink a couple times, and now doing it in college is a once-in-a-lifetime experience. But, Penn State would probably be one that sticks out, Penn State and Michigan Tech.
Gotcha.
Nice. How about this one we ask everybody too? Who's the most talented player you've ever shared the ice with?
Oh, like as a teammate or just like opponent or
let's go teammate, but it can be anybody through Penticton to Wisconsin, St. Thomas, any of them.
If you've played against some heavy hitters, we want to hear about them too.
Yeah, I would say probably some of the more dynamic players that I've been on teams with. One that sticks out is obviously Lucas Wallen.
Yeah,
he's a great player, and the stuff he does and his work ethic is unbelievable. And my other line mate, Matthew Gleason, he's so good at what he does. Maybe he hasn't had the same kind of points as me and Lucas this year, but he's battled through injuries and he's been so productive and so beneficial for a team to get where we are right now. So. I have to throw him in there. He's so dynamic. Let's say going back to my years in Madison, Matty D. St. Fall, he was somebody I watched like every day, whether it was a skill ice or, a hard practice or a battle practice. I would always and I was kind of more of his height as well. And so it was just somebody I could easily watch do that. I'd say some opponents that stick out or someone that was crazy to watch was Kent Johnson.
Oh, yeah. Michigan.
He was that Michigan team. Some of those guys were nuts. Kent Johnson, Luke Hughes.
Yeah.
Unbelievable skill. There's so many different names.
Most of the Hughes brothers, I'm sure. Yeah.
Yeah. A little Edina favoritism here, but. Sammy Walker was just he was so good, so fast, and then you kind of have the shift in their star in Snuggerud this year, and the way he can shoot the puck is unbelievable. But yeah, I think some I've learned in college is that each team has so many different dynamic players, and maybe you won't find the guy who's gonna get 50 some points that sticks out just being how good he is, but someone that's going to catch an eye is just making a really good player. Some player that you can tell it's like, oh yeah, this guy's really legit. This guy's got some skill and I've never seen that before. So yeah, college hockey is full of so many good players, and I'm sure I can name so many more teammates been around, and maybe I'm not giving guys credit, but I'll stick with my line mates for the time being, Lucas and Matthew. Matthew Gleason.
Love it.
Well, you kind of teed us up for the next one. And like, who's a guy that completely flies under the radar that you've played with? Someone maybe like a Gleason where you're like, yeah, this guy is so underrated and he only has 10 points in 40 games. Like, how, you know, he needs more respect.
Yeah, I think on our team, we have a lot of underrated guys who are just so valuable in different ways. Someone that sticks out to me is Jake Bursini.
I was going to, yeah, I mean, like, Bursini's the first one that comes to my mind on your team.
Yeah, Bursini, unbelievable player. I don't know, underrated or not, Ryan O'Neal, so dynamic, so efficient in what he does.
I think it's fair to throw O'Neal's name in there because you guys, honestly, I mean, and that's the thing about this team is you guys do have some, you know, you got Cooper Gay, you've got yourself, Lucas Wallen. Yeah. I mean, some of the guys who are at the top of the score sheet, but yeah, Ryan O'Neal's a little flies under the radar, but he could take over a game at any time.
100%. Yeah. We have so many guys who, I mean, I think the great thing is we got a lot of guys that don't really, I don't know if care is the right word, but don't really acknowledge the fact that they're underrated or overrated or whatnot. I think there's just a lot of kind of internal confidence to just go out and play your game. And if you make a mistake, you make a mistake. You're always going to have someone there to kind of pat you on the back and say, hey, I knew what you were trying to do there. Great. Like, good try.
Yeah.
You know, why not try it again next shift? You know, who knows?
Yeah.
Right. But yeah, there's so many different guys who are good at so many things. Going, like you said, Bursini, his shot, unbelievable. His release is so crazy. And yeah, I think when you got underrated or just players like that who have gone under the rug and maybe go through a college thing and maybe don't get that kind of recognition until they leave, those are guys that I've been able, since I've been here, to just kind of under the rug as well, look at their game and try to take parts of their game and put it into mind. So it's beneficial to have guys, and our whole team is full of super dynamic players.
Chase Foley is another one that sticks out.
Yeah.
I don't think I've seen him make a mistake.
Like, no, he's here. Yeah, our defensemen on our team are, I would say they're different in a sense, all of them, but they're all so good. I could say your name, you know, every
go up and down.
Every positive thing that I can say about the, I mean, like you said, Foley, we have great leadership within, you know, Ethan Gower as an assistant captain, Cheslock, a young defenseman who's only going to continue to get better. Personally, some of my favorite is watching, my two roommates, Cole Miller and Pullman, they're a deep pair. They're so fun. You can tell their confidence is only going up, and their offensive game is it's gonna click. And together, they're so dynamic, and they're a huge part of our team. So each one of those D men is a rock to continue this winning trend. And as long as our D are playing well, the forwards are happy, so we're going to continue with that trend.
No doubt. This is one we picked up about midseason, so this is episode 23 we're on. Probably episode 9 or so, Jared, we picked this up. But this is a fun one. We get some good answers for this. Who's the most famous person that you have in your cell phone?
Oh, I don't know.
Pull it out. Take some time to think about it if you got to.
Yeah, that's interesting. I would say somebody on my contacts. Are you guys gonna make me call them? I don't know if I'm
No.
I've seen some of those videos. But I got some people who have been able to connect with over Cole Caulfield. That sticks out.
Yeah.
That guy can shoot a puck. Oh my gosh. Dylan Holloway is a great guy.
Okay.
The second time Dylan Holloway's coming.
Yeah, this is the second time.
Yeah.
Can't remember who had him first.
Yeah, there's a lot of different players and just guys who I've been able to connect with. I don't know. There's
two really good ones.
Yeah, there's a lot of guys.
I mean, like your head coaches,
Rico.
Yeah. Kind of well Rico, known, right?
Yeah. Okay. Maybe I can call him right now. And I don't know.
We do not want a mad Italian man on this podcast.
We'll let him be. We'll let him be this week. But yeah, there's a couple names. I'm sure I have more.
Cole Caulfield's a really good one.
That's a good one.
He's something.
And the last one we got for you. Who is the best golfer on the team, and who is the biggest sandbagger on the team?
Great question. I think the best golfer, from what I've seen and maybe been around, I don't like to give him credit, but I'll give him credit. It's probably Aaron Trotter. Yeah. I know Jake Ratzlaff. He's a great golfer as well. But I haven't really played too much with those guys. I think they play more so with themselves because they're probably at the same level. don't want guys like myself bringing them down. But they're probably the better ones that I've heard of. I'm sure there's others, but the biggest sandbaggers definitely Gleason. That guy, act like he's got nothing, and then he'll walk out of the course with a little pep in his step.
Love it.
We had Trotter on earlier, and I think he said he was the best golfer on the team.
I think he did too.
No, he said himself.
Oh yeah, no,
no short in confidence.
Yeah, no.
We talked golf with Aaron Trotter for. God, what, Jared? A good 20 minutes, yeah. Like, even before the podcast started, after maybe a little bit too. I think
he likes golf more than hockey. Right.
Yeah, I know him. Yeah, I know they're kind of roommate set up. They all love golf. So, I'm sure there's some more stud golfers on this team. But, we'll maybe be able to learn more after Friday.
That's right.
Anyways, that's all we got for you. Thank you so much for your time today, man. This was awesome. Best of luck Friday, too. Fun tilt.
Yeah. Hey, thank you guys so much for having me. It was a pleasure to be on here. So thank you guys.
All right. Once again, thank you to Liam Malmquist for joining the show. Subscribe to the CCHA show on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from. And subscribe to the CCHA on YouTube. Follow us on Twitter at Trent Singer, at Jared Rubato BP. You can check out our work at BemidjiPioneer.com and SiouxFallsLab.com.